On the same day, the life of our holy monastic father, Gregory, wonderworker of the Kiev caves. Neo-Caesarea boasts of Gregory the wonderworker, and the great and marvelous Lavra of the Kiev caves boasts of his namesake. While God, who is wondrous in his saints, was manifesting his power through Anthony and Theodosius of the caves, he summoned Gregory to the holy Lavra. At the same time, Anthony was living in seclusion, and Theodosius was superior of the brotherhood. Having received the tonsure, Gregory quickly acquired all the virtues, especially non-possessiveness, chastity, humility, and obedience. He was granted the gift of fervent prayer and deemed worthy to work miracles. After every service, the saint read prayers of exorcism, and the demons, over whom the Lord had granted him power, would cry from afar, "O Gregory, your prayer has put us to flight." Galled by defeat, the enemy plotted revenge. Powerless to harm Gregory directly, he incited evil men to rob the saint. Although he owned nothing but a few service books, the thieves came to Gregory's cell after dark and hid, waiting for the elder to go to mountains. But he sensed their presence and remained inside all night, standing in prayer. He offered up entreaty for them, saying, "O God, grant sleep to thy servants, who are wearing themselves out on behalf of the adversary." The Lord heard him, and the robbers fell asleep. They slumbered for 5 days and nights, until finally the Blessed One, in the presence of numerous brethren, woke them with these words, "Why do you keep watch in vain? Return home." The thieves had not eaten for so long they could not get up, but the saint gave them food and sent them on their way. The ruler of the city learned that what had happened and arrested them. However, Gregory redeemed them at the price of several of his books. Subsequently, he sold the rest of his manuscripts in his cell, telling himself, "The Lord taught us, sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupt. May it not be said that I have tempted another to steal." The robbers did not forget the miracle, but repented and forsook the life of crime, returning to the monastery at the caves to work for the brethren. Soon, however, the foe set upon Gregory again. The Blessed One had a little garden in which grew vegetables and fruit trees. At the devil's instigation, other thieves entered it and filled their bags. They threw the sacks over their shoulders and were leaving, when they were inexplicably halted. For 2 days and nights they stooped beneath the weight of the fruit and vegetables, then finally began shouting, "Holy Father Gregory, release us, we repent of our sin, which we will never repeat." Hearing the cries, monks came running and laid hold of the robbers, but could not move them. They asked, "How long have you been here?" "For 2 days and nights," replied the thieves. The monks said, "We passed by repeatedly, but did not see you. Had we seen you, we would certainly have implored you with tears to entreat the elder to let us go," declared the thieves. "We finally became so exhausted we started shouting, 'Beg the holy Gregory to help us.'" At that moment, the saint appeared and said to the pilferers, "You have squandered many God-given years because you are too lazy to work. Spend the time remaining to you standing there idly." The thieves wept bitterly and swore they would never again steal. At length, the elder was moved to compassion and told them, "If you are willing to labor, feeding others, I will release you." "We will do whatever you say," promised the robbers. "May God grant you strength to keep your word. Henceforth you will toil on behalf of the holy brethren," Gregory commanded. With this he let them go. To make amends for having pilfered from the little garden, they worked till the end of their days in every garden belonging to the monastery of the caves. Before long, the tempter made a third foray against the Blessed One. Three men presented themselves to Gregory, alleging that one of their number had been condemned to die. "Father," they begged, "give us something of value so we can ransom his life." The Blessed One foresaw that death indeed awaited the man, and was moved to tears. Woe to him, Gregory wept. The day of his demise is at hand. If you help us, Father, we can save his life, said the doomed man's friends. Even if I give you something, he will die. But tell me, how is he to be executed? Asked the clairvoyant wonder worker. By hanging, they replied. That is true, agreed the saint. Tomorrow you will see him hang. With this, Gregory went to the cave where he was accustomed to devote himself to prayer, far from the sights and sounds of the fiend world. Shortly he emerged with several books, which he gave the men, saying, Take these, and if you do not find them to be of use, return them. They departed laughing and planning how they would divide the money from the sale of the books. On the way, they passed an apple tree belonging to the saint, and said, Tonight we shall return and strip its fruit. After dark, the thieves did return and locked the door to the underground cell in which Gregory was praying. The one who was said to have been condemned climbed the tree and began to pluck apples, when the branch holding him broke and he fell. His friends took to their heels and his neck was caught in the branches below. With no one to extricate him, he strangled. Trapped inside the cave, Gregory could not join the brethren for matins and church, since he never missed a service. The monks went after the dismissal to learn what was the matter. They were shocked to come upon a corpse hanging from his tree. The saint whom they found in the cave had them bring down the dead man. Presently the two surviving thieves returned with the crowd. As they were examining the body, Saint Gregory told them, See, you shameless lie turned out to be true, for God is not mocked. Had you not locked me in the cave, I would have come to his rescue. But the enemy taught you to observe vain and false things, and to abandon mercy for yourselves. The thieves fell at the Blessed One's feet, admitted that he had foretold their companion's fate exactly, and begged forgiveness. Gregory sentenced them to labor for the monastery of the cave, so that thenceforth they might eat bread in the sweat of their faces, and feed others by their toil. They and their children ended their days working for the servants of the Immaculate Theotokos, and disciples of our venerable fathers Anthony and Theodosius. Now the time has come to tell how the godly one was killed. One day an unclean animal was found in a crock belonging to the monastery, and the blessed Gregory went to the Dnieper to fetch water so that he could wash it out. At the river he came upon Prince Rostislav Vsevolodovitch, who was about to campaign against the Cumans with his brother Vladimir Monomakh, and was on his way to the monastery of the caves to pray and receive a blessing. Goaded by our inveterate foe, Rostislav's servants began mocking the elder and taunting him shamelessly. But the spirit of prophecy Gregory saw death at hand and said, Children, at a time when you should be begging everyone's prayers, you are displeasing God. Weep, because calamity is nigh, and repent in the hope that you will be shown mercy on the dread day of judgment. The Lord has ordained that you and your prince should drown. Thinking that the Venerable One was trying to intimidate him and his men, and not understanding that he was truly prophesying, Prince Rostislav became infuriated and shouted, I am a strong swimmer. It is you who are about to drown. Forgetting all fear of God, the prince ordered that the elder be bound hand and foot, that a large rock be tied to his neck, and that he be thrown into the river. For 2 days the brethren searched unsuccessfully for Gregory. Then, on the third day, they entered his cell to collect his belongings and found his body there. The saint's hands and feet were tied, the rock was fastened to his neck, and his clothes were still wet. But his face was radiant, and his flesh was like that of a living person. The monks were amazed and wondered who had brought him back to the cell, because the door was locked. They concluded that the remains could only have found their way within by miraculous means. So the brethren praised God, who is wondrous in his saints, Afterwards, they carried the wonder-working relics with much ceremony to the cave where they rest to this day, still incorrupt. Rostislav did not consider that he had sinned, but continued to rage and no longer cared to receive a blessing before the campaign. He failed to visit the monastery as he had vowed, but his brother Vladimir Monomakh did go and request a blessing and prayers. The Russian princes crossed the river Stugna at Tripoli and attacked the Cumans, but were defeated and fled. Through the prayers and blessing of the saints of the caves, Vladimir successfully recrossed the Stugna. Rostislav and his men, however, perished in the river. Thus the saint's prophecy was fulfilled, and the measure meted by the wicked Rostislav was measured to him again. As for the guileless wonder worker Gregory, he found the fountain of life, and slaking his thirst at the sweet waters above the heavens, he hymns the name of the Lord, to whom be glory and praise, now and ever, and unto the endless ages. Amen. On this same day, we commemorate the holy higher martyr Carterius, who was tortured at Caesarea of Cappadocia by the procurator Urban during the reign of Diocletian. After enduring numerous torments, Carterius met his end when a Jew speared him. We also commemorate the holy martyrs at Theophilus, a deacon, and Heladius, a layman, who were beaten to death with stones for Christ's sake in Libya, and our venerable father Elias, the desert dweller of Egypt. Saint Elias became a monk while still very young, and lived in silence for 70 years upon a mountain. He reposed in the Lord at the age of 110.